Welcome to another edition of Beeplecast, a weekly podcast that takes an honest and sometimes irreverent look at the state of open hardware, embedded Linux, and all things BeagleBoard.
Hi, and welcome to Beeplecast. I'm one of your hosts, Jason Kreidner. We'll be joined shortly by Gerald Coley and Jeffrey Osher-Mixon. We'll be getting together weekly to discuss what's new in open hardware, embedded Linux, and all things BeagleBoard. We welcome your contributions by leaving us any questions or suggestions that you might have by calling 713-234-0535 and leaving a message, or by visiting http://bit.ly/bcsuggest.
Hi, this is Jason Kreidner, and I'm here with Gerald Coley and Jeffrey Osher-Mixon, and it's time for another weekly discussion of Beeplecast. Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hey there.
Yeah, for those that may be wondering, no, we don't have this big, nice, comfy studio with recliners and microphones and headsets. We're doing this all over the wonderful Internet.
How do we get invited up to the Twit Cottage? Are either of you aware of the Twit Cottage?
No, what's a Twit Cottage?
So the Twit Cottage is Leo Laporte's studio where he does a lot of these podcasts. Part of the reason why I wanted to do one of these things is what Leo does. It's a pretty impressive little setup he's got. Now, he does video and much better audio recordings, and you know, he's a real pro at this. He's also a radio personality. He does a call-in show helping people with tech stuff, the tech guy.
Well, I think that's something that we can aspire to, but, you know, let's just take it one step at a time. We haven't got this part down yet. That would be something good to aspire to.
We need any income being made selling Beagle boards and the like somehow to go towards our Twit Cottage. That would be nice.
Well,
go against the principle of open hardware and open source.
Well, if that's the case, then we better just kind of tone it down and be happy with this.
All right, let's get started in the news. Gerald, I think you wanted to mention something about Windows Compact 7.
Yeah, there's some interesting activity going out there on Windows Compact 7. I think a lot of you have probably seen some stuff about Microsoft getting into the business, okay? MPC Data is a company that I've known for, well, we won't go into that. I've known them for quite a long time, visited their operation over in the UK, and it's a very fascinating office building, by the way. But they've announced that they've got a Compact 7 board support package available, and we have done some work with them in the past and some demos we kind of run through from time to time at the shows, and I've been encouraging them to make something like this available. And, you know, the Windows business model has always been a little bit different, but they've made that announcement, and I haven't had the opportunity to actually run it myself, but if some of you have, it'd be nice if you get on the IRC channel or on the mailing list and let us know what you think.
And you said that they're in an interesting building. They're not in that egg building, are they?
It's an old building that was built. It's going down a farm road, and it's off to the left, and it's an old stone building, and they may have moved by then. I can't for the life of me remember the town where they're at, but it's one of the coolest towns I've ever seen in my life. It's just got a nice old feel out there in the country there in the UK.
Cool. Well, I got to meet some of the guys there when they were doing they were doing training at the Embedded Systems Conference for Windows CE 7 on the BeagleBoard. Well, hello. Some of my first.
What was that?
I figured that was going to happen. Again, we're not in a fancy studio. This is my second line on my phone, so it must be the CEO of TI trying to get in touch with me, so he'll just have to wait.
Tell him we said hi.
Will do.
So Klaus came out and had some training at for folks at the Embedded Systems Conference on the BeagleBoard and got to play with WinCE7 there. And I think it's advanced quite a bit since then. I've seen this Remote FX demo. Have y'all seen that running? At least the video of it.
No,
I haven't.
It's pretty slick. So you get full speed video and 3D graphics remoted to your BeagleBoard from a Windows server. The demo is pretty cool because you can run the 3D games and play all your YouTube videos or media player videos, and they all just stream right over the network interface to the BeagleBoard and play at full speed. It's pretty slick.
Is that something that people can download?
Sorry,
Stan. That I'm not 100% sure of. But what I was referring to is basically the press release they sent out a few days ago. I guess it was last week.
Yeah, I think there's a demo that you can download, but not the remote FX demo. I don't think you can get the full remote FX. I think you can just get the basic Windows Compact 7 demo.
Okay.
Does it work with it? Does it work with it Kinect?
What doesn't work with the Kinect?
That's what I was just going to say.
I don't know. I don't have one.
Yeah, I have a Kinect and no Xbox 360. So I play with it on a Mac and on a BeagleBoard.
Awesome.
So a little bit
have
later.
You got it to run under Linux yet?
Yeah. Well, on the BeagleBoard, yeah. Runs just fine.
Oh, awesome.
Just run lib freenet. So when we get down to the news section, there was somebody that did a robot using a BeagleBoard and the Kinect, and they had the robot identify faces using OpenCV on the BeagleBoard, and then use the distance information, and the robot would follow somebody around and walk up to them, but not run into them. So follower robot, so you could just dance around the robot and it would turn and follow you. It's a pretty cool video on YouTube.
It is really a slick. By the way, I just double-checked here. If you go to the MPC Data website, it's right there on the front page, and then there's a link there for the BeagleBoard. And you can register for free downloads. I guess they want your sales information and all that, and so they can call you at home. But it is available for download for free.
Very cool.
I guess a few more people ought to be able to reach that now. You've got a couple more distributors online, is that right?
That's what I was just fixing to say. Just for so people know, we have a lot of requests for distributors, and when they request to be a distributor, we make fun of them, we laugh at them, we poke them, and to see how serious they are, because we have a lot of people that want to be distributors, and if they never sell a board, they're happy. Those take all the boards for themselves. So we've had a couple of them online here for a few months, and what we do is we kind of watch them, see how they do. You know, we just don't want somebody that, you know, has a storefront. We want someone that actually participates, interacts with the community, helps build communities in certain areas. We've actually now placed two companies on the buy page. One of them is a company called Chipsy. They've set up some communities there in China. Both these are in China or Taiwan. They've actually worked with universities, setting up sub-communities there, and they're doing a real good job. So you can go to the buy page and see Chipsy's on there. Another interesting outfit is a company called CatCan, who is big into robotics. And so they've actually made some add-on boards and stuff for Beagle. They've got some YouTube videos of Beagle, running spider robots, that'll kind of walk around and do funny things. So both those are now active, and they're fully supported. And we have, sales orders in from them, and we'll continue to ship them boards, basically as many as they can sell.
I got a box yesterday from Taiwan that I'm kind of excited about. Inside of it was a X-Pod robot, so one with the six legs, and a quad pod robot, both from CatCam. So I'm pretty excited to be playing with that. And it's got two motors on each of the legs, motor to do the extension and another motor to do the turning. Then I was kind of surprised. It took me – there's a head on it. It's got a head, sort of a neck motor to turn it back and forth. Not exactly sure what I'm going to do with that yet, but it's got some screw holes in the front. I think you can just use it to mount a sensor and turn the sensor back and forth.
So have you actually had it walking around yet?
Not yet. I'm going to try some stuff I've got to do on the Tin Can Tools trainer board first, and be playing with that one. I'm still trying to understand all the Arduino-ish stuff and crashing that. And so once I play with the trainer, then next on the list is to to play with the hex bot.
Okay, I was just kind of wondering what your cat was thinking of it. So
so far, with it sitting still, it's not too intimidating. I think once it gets up and starts moving around, then they might freak out. But I've run the Mindstorms around the house a bit. I had just did a little simple wall following thing, trying not to run into walls, and yeah, the cat just pretty much takes off. Gone.
Well, if you had a dog like I do, they'd just be barking at it.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more interaction. Yeah, I can write a program to, you know, battle for the maimed. I don't know. I guess nobody call the ASPCA on me, please.
Excellent.
I wouldn't actually hurt it.
Okay, and just as a side note, we have another prospective distributor that we brought on board in India. They're still going through their trial stage. But hopefully in the next month or so, if they continue going the way they're going, we'll be able to announce them as well and get them on the buy page. So that's all I have for the distributor update.
All right. We'll move on with...
How many distributors is that now?
Oh, I don't know. You can go to the buy page and find out. You know. I've lost count. Every time... We have weekly meetings and we go over the production status of where we're at and how many orders have come in, and every week we just get more and more orders from distributors and this and that. So, you know, there's quite a few on there. I don't know that all of them are even listed. So we got 7 officially on the XM, and then we got another 7 on the C4. There are a few distributors that haven't yet picked up the XM. I don't think Spark Fund has, but they're fixing to come online. We've also got another distributor that's going to be coming online that's going to have some pretty far reach, and they're all hung up on doing press releases and stuff like that. But Avnet should be coming on board here pretty soon as well. So just more people screaming for boards.
That's fantastic.
Just makes my day. Okay, so on to the feed.
On to the feed. First news item, FFmpeg fork becomes libAV. Okay. You know, each of you guys knows the Mons Roll Guard, right? MRU. Pretty.
Oh, yeah.
At least
oh, yeah.
Jeff was.
He's very active in the community.
Very active on the IRC channel. Yeah, so he's one of those libAV guys. So what I'm hearing is libAV is the new FFmpeg. It's the way to go. So if you're wondering whatever happened to FFmpeg and where to get all that stuff, libAV.
Excellent.
All right, moving right along. Clojure. Have you ever heard of Clojure, Jeff? Are you familiar with that?
I have heard of it. I don't actually know what it is, though.
Okay. I'm familiar with what's called a Clojure and JavaScript, and that's a pretty handy way of... sort of leaving anonymous functions around to satisfy, you know, some need at a later point in time. And it's probably need to read a bit more about it to get a cleaner explanation of it, but it's a pretty handy feature of the JavaScript language. But Clojure itself as a language looks rather Lisp-like to me. Nice to see some good language experimentation going on around the BeagleBoard. Also in the news, the 2.6.38 kernel is now out, officially released from Linus. There's quite a bit of new patches in there to help support the BeagleBoard. Don't think it's 100% clean, all the drivers that we'd want in that mainline yet, but it's getting closer and closer with each release. I know in the open embedded for the Ancient distribution, there's a recipe now for 2.6.38. Graham is doing a lot of the work on that today. He seems to have been the one that initiated that recipe and moving some of that forward. We had a very direct response to BeagleCast from our CLFS friend. So Andrew Bradford, getting CLFS up and running on his BeagleBoard, heard our mention of him on the podcast and tried to give us some clarification of what CLFS really is. And I think we're getting there when talking about it being an educational project.
So, according to him, CLFS stands for Cross Linux from Scratch. Pretty good stuff.
I looked through that site last time we brought it up, I think, here on BeagleCast, and it looks like a really interesting collection of information.
Yeah,
there's a whole book that...
I don't know, though. He's got some followers down there, and he's got Jason's picture, so I don't know if that's a good advertisement or not.
Maybe people won't scroll down.
He's right next to something that looks like a little ant with antennas, but that's okay. Very good.
Well, he still seems to think we're a little bit confused, and I think he brings out the point in his latest blog post, you know, where he's trying to clarify it to us, that it's less about automation and much more about describing the individual manual steps, step-by-step, you know, from the upstream source. So it's very clear what you're doing every step along the way. So if, instead of trying to hide a lot of the complexity of the cross-compiled builds, making it very very clear to the user what they're doing. I think this will go a long way to educating people on embedded Linux on the BeagleBoard.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think that's one of the best things about the BeagleBoard. It's such a good educational platform.
So we also made some progress last week, and now it's not just bootloading and running the kernel. He's actually got a real file system up and running now. So I think it's something that is ready for some other people to play with.
Excellent.
It seems like the Open Embedded folks made an appearance at CBIT. H Online covered them appearing there, and they were showing off stuff on the BeagleBoard, PandaBoard, and the friendly ARM board. Either of you follow any news on CBIT?
Not me.
No, I just read the article that came across on the BeagleBoard RSS feed, which is actually probably the feed that I pay the most attention to.
Yeah, I do follow that.
CBIT is an absolutely huge trade show. I guess it's kind of what CES used to be. I think it's still closer to that, where it's still big industry news, but apparently not enough to touch our lives too directly. Another guy who's really pretty active on the mailing list, Max, has been, I guess, somewhat along the same lines of this CLFS. He's been documenting some of the steps it takes to build Qt and OpenCV, so the Qt framework, Qt, if you like to pronounce it that way, and the OpenCV project. Both of those are pretty popular software projects for the BeagleBoard, and a lot of people are, you know, relying on distribution builds of those, either under Angstrom or under Ubuntu. So he's taken to documenting a lot of the manual steps to build those application frameworks. Recently, he's even got a demo on there how to do some image capturing from a camera using OpenCV and Qt. So I think that little demo is worth taking a look at if you're interested in this project.
Is he the same person who did the face chasing thing we just talked about?
No, I don't believe he is. I think it was Wotnik that did the face chasing demo.
Oh.
I was just on the IRC channel with Wotnik today. Sorry if I go by everybody's IRC neck. I think we're both trying to chase down some of the fun things with the trainer and how to get the bootloader programmed in there and dealing with the Arduino tools. But, Wotnik is on the IRC channel pretty frequently and been pretty happy to talk about his Kinect hacks.
Very cool.
So also around the trainers, we had somebody create a blog post about doing SPI communications with the trainer, and they've got that up and running and talk about how to go and repeat the work there.
I've heard, you know, somebody talked about they may not be making a lot more of the trainer boards. Have they changed their mind? Are going to make some of those available to everybody who wants to give it a try?
They are making more, and they're taking feedback right now about what additional features they might want to be put on those next revision of boards.
Excellent. So all you trainer fans and people that are interested in that board, be sure and check it out at Tin Can Tools and feedback and let them know. I mean, they need to be able to sell a few and feel the love. So if you guys or gals are interested, you know, again, get with them and let them know.
Yeah, I'm messing with it because I want to create some tutorials about how to do SPI and I2C and GPIO, and I wanted a target that I could actually talk to. So, you know, I keep hearing about how easy to use this Arduino stuff is, and So I just figure, well, okay, it's got the Atmel microcontroller on there. Let's program that Atmel microcontroller up to be a target for SPI and I2C and GPIOs and use it as a verification loop, right, just to create a completely closed system that could test itself. I think that's really important for creating a tutorial, is something where, you know, hey, I just know this works, right? And the Arduino tools for me are a little bit harder to get started up than I thought. But I think maybe it's the difference of, you know, somewhat how things are sort of packaged and presented. So I don't want to jump to too many conclusions quite yet, but it's still something I'm trying to get going.
Sounds like fun. I wish I had time to do some of that kind of stuff myself. I seem to have plenty of stuff to keep my 36-hour days quite full.
Oh, come on. It's part of your job somewhere in there, I'm sure.
Oh, I know. It's kind of funny. You always seem to make time for what you think is important. It's just that when you have too many things that are important is when you get in trouble. That's okay. I have three computers at home, so I keep three things running at the time most of the time anymore.
You know, if you need more computers to keep busy, I'm very much in love with this Amazon EC2 thing. You know, Jeff, you were mentioning problems with your build server. You know, my solution is just, okay, I need a new machine, clone, start, launch.
Well, the clone part might be a problem just because it might clone the same issues over.
That's true. You have to manage this working.
This disk was working yesterday. I don't get it.
If you didn't do anything and nothing changed, then you understand.
That's exactly what is going on. Maybe I should have changed something.
I'm hoping somebody will create something that I can clone in the first place. If I can encourage you to make that Yocto build machine that just works, then put it up on an Amazon AMI, Amazon machine image, and I can just clone it, I will be very happy.
A Yocto build?
Sure, Yocto, open embedded. So when I do Angstrom builds right now, I do it with an Amazon EC2 machine. It's still quite slow. If I want to do a complete system build, it takes me over 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested to have you walk me through the process of doing that.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a script for it, and it needs some debug. I'd be very happy to do that.
Cool. Oh, hey, I think I just figured out which one.
You're not supposed to be working. You're supposed to be called in this.
I am. I'm just. I had my etc fs tab file just sitting up, looking at it, trying to figure out what was wrong with it before this call, and I just looked over and figured out what was going on. So this call's been really useful to me.
So Jason,
this call's been really helpful.
So Jason's talk was an inspiration to you. Very good.
You're right. It was.
All right. Let's see if any of these other news items are an inspiration for you. Speaking of hack how-tos, there's a blog post out of Japan on how to run CyanogenMod on the BeagleBoard, that customized Android port.
Yeah, somebody's got that working with Robo?
Oh, absolutely. Robo supports the BeagleBoard out of the box.
Right, but I didn't realize that CyanogenMod did.
I think it's CyanogenMod is still a hack to get to run on the BeagleBoard. CyanogenMod does a it's possible to get an emulator build of it. And from looking at the blog post, it looks like that's what they did. They did an emulator build of CyanogenMod and then worked with the Robo code to put that on the BeagleBoard.
Oh, fantastic. I must have missed that one when it came across the news.
Well, it was in Japanese. How good is your Japanese?
It's about as good as my Martian. But I have plans to learn it.
Well, yeah. I have those master plans laid out as well, and they're not panning out so far. Let's spend a little bit less time on this BeagleBoard stuff and a little bit more time on Japanese, maybe.
I'm
told just 20 minutes a day running Rosetta Stone, and we'll be there.
Yeah, but 20 minutes a day, how long?
We can do anything in 20 minutes a day. if you live in Finland, right?
Right.
Other news item, IGP version 2 goes open hardware. I'm pretty excited about that. Other people entering the open hardware fray?
The more the merrier. That is indeed good.
Yeah.
Hey, that reminds me. I heard that they have finally set a date for the next open hardware summit. It's going to be the Thursday before Maker Faire New York, which is on my open source events calendar. And now, I don't have that.
Well, grab a link and we'll
that
put it in the show
notes. That is in September. Yes, it's in September. It's like September 17th and 18th is Maker Faire, so that means that either the 15th or the 16th will be the next Open Hardware Summit in New York.
Fantastic. Very much look forward to that. Also, so that they're collecting votes on a logo.
That's what I've heard, too. Yeah, I haven't taken a look at any of them.
The one that is memorable for me is that they had one that looks like the OSI, but like a key, but instead of just a circle-looking object, it's a gear. To let you know it's hardware.
That sounds good. I don't know how people come up with those ideas for logos.
It's not the way in which I'm creative.
It took me 30 years to come up with my signature. So don't ask me to do a logo.
Well, similar to guess my profession by my signature, they would certainly presume that I was a doctor.
So what's
I think if I were to try to create a logo, it wouldn't look that much different. I use red ink for my X. How about you?
I just draw a circle with a bar across it.
No.
What's next on the news list?
Well, we had somebody collecting some power numbers on the BeagleBoard and publishing those.
Ah, yes.
Did you take a look at those?
Yep, I took a look at those, and can't recall exactly which meter I used. This is under the Ubuntu stuff. I'm not sure. Do they have frequency scaling and voltage scaling and all that kind of stuff in there?
You can run different kernels under Ubuntu.
Yeah.
I believe that they are in the main distribution, yes. Did the numbers seem a bit high?
They're probably okay, but I've seen them, you know, I just love frequency scaling, voltage scaling. I love to watch the frequency go up and down and watch the current go up and down, you know. So what would be interesting, I was noticing that basically this was done on the Rev C4 board. It'd be interesting if they'd be willing to do an XM. Of course, I guess they'll probably want one for free. But the XM actually should be a little bit better and a little bit worse at the same time. We have the hub on there, which does add some current to it. But you can actually make some separate power measurements on there. There's actually a header on there that can be used for making power measurements. But welcome anybody to, you know, do the power measurements and get the software tuned and, you know, get it down a little bit.
Well, yeah, in this particular set of data collection, you know, it doesn't specify what governor was used. Right? With the CPU Freak utils, you can set the governor to be very aggressive at keeping the clock and voltage low, or you can, you know, have it be very conservative in that it could run it at a high voltage and high frequency very often to make sure there's plenty of available cycles.
Yeah, the big thing about power, it's not necessarily, it took 550 milliamps, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean it always takes it. I mean, the best way to do it, which is difficult at best to do, it's kind of do a histogram on it, where over a period of time you'll have peaks and valleys, and what's the average current during the average application, and then you start getting into, well, what is the average application? Well, you know, browsing, okay, maybe do browsing, or you're playing a video back or playing music back, and they all can be different. And, you know, when you go out and grab the SD card, you're pulling data in, the current will go up, and when he's not doing that, it will go down. So you can do things like increasing buffer sizes and things like that. So it's something that, you know, throughout my time here at TI, I've been asked many, many times about that. And whenever they ask the question, what's the current, I just say, well, what are you doing? And no, or don't know. I said, it just varies. So basically what it is on-demand performance, and that not only relates to frequency scaling and voltage scaling, but it also relates to what else you have on the board and whether it's turned on or turned off. You know, for example, on the XM, if you're not using the hub, you can turn it off. Parnell completely. But if you got it on sitting there not doing anything, then it's going to consume some extra current. So it's a real fascinating topic, and it's a lot deeper than most people realize, because there's a lot of things you can do, and it really depends on what the hardware, you know, allows you to do. So, but good to see people out there, you know, starting to talk about that and look at the current draw and let people come with ideas to optimize everything and get it a little bit better.
You know, it would be nice is to take another BeagleBoard and use an A to D connected up to the BeagleBoard to capture the data and use a BeagleBoard to collect that histogram. Might be a little bit cheaper than buying a scope. So I think
it's kind of hard to do. There's some really nice devices I've been playing with over the years. I've got some things that I'm looking into. You know, Jason kind of fiddles around with his Arduino board, and I look into some other areas. So there could be some things coming out by the end of the year that people might find interesting in the area of power. It just all depends on how everything shakes out on my end and whether or not my request to take my 36 hour days to 48 has been approved or not. I'm still waiting to get approval from my wife on that one. Yeah, we've got more ideas than we have time to implement them.
You know, get somebody in the MSP 430 world to create a little voltage data collector or something.
Yeah, well, there's some really nice devices. The INA219, for example, it's a little device that fits right across a low-value series resistor, and it's got an I2C interface on it and collects all kinds of data about power. You can set the gain in it. You can tune it. It's a really nice device, and I've been playing with that for a while. So I'm looking to get that implemented into one form or another to help with this scenario. What I like to do is also have the ability to capture an I/O pin or something so that, you know, when you're accessing, you know, the SD card, that routine activation, you actually put a trace in there to where when you're in that piece of code, it goes up, and then when you get out of that code, it goes down, and you can actually look to see the code, what kind of current is being consumed when that code is running. Of course, in a part like the M35 or 37 processor, I mean, there's so many other things going on, you know, but the code's not running when the LCD is being updated. It's just continuously being updated. So, you know, but it is a good method for going through and kind of benchmarking the current consumption of your code. But it's a little bit more difficult scenario when you're looking at the entire system and everything that's going on there.
I was just looking around to see if there was anybody doing some Google searches on Arduino voltage measurement data log and something on the Lady Ada's page, but it doesn't look like it's super simple.
Yeah, back in the day, I don't know how many people out there remember this one, but there was a little board many moons ago called the OSK, which was the OMAP starter kit, and it was one of the first forays into the catalog OMAP class processors. And on that board, there were a whole bunch of tap points where you could actually tap across it and get a current measurement. And somewhere out there, don't ask me where it's at, but somewhere out there, there's an application note that takes you through on how to actually do active current measurements using a digital storage scope. So, you know, I'm sure somebody can dig that up. I haven't seen it in a number of years, but the same philosophy works. And in fact, inside TI on pretty much all the OMAP class EVMs, there are some power measurement points that you can actually get to and look at different voltage rails and help tune your application and stuff. So it's kind of one of my pet projects, but unfortunately I just haven't had the time to take it as far as it needs to go.
Okay, wrapping out the news, we had the always innovating guys, Greg Waj and Hill, announcing something about a new multi-operating system or multi-Linux system running on the BeagleBoard.
Yeah, system on system. He called it the Super Jumbo.
The Super Jumbo.
Super Jumbo for the BeagleBoard family, also compatible with TouchBook and SmartBook. Sounds like a commercial to me. But it went out on the email list as an Angstrom distribution in it, Android Gingerbread, Ubuntu Maverick 10.10, and Chromium OS. Now, he didn't say whether they were all running simultaneously. That would be interesting to see, but supposedly you you get one distribution or one file that you put on an SD card and work it through all the different things. So this is out of some of his work from the TouchBook, SmartBook that Always Innovating has out there. So it's good to see those guys and Greg Work actually putting some stuff back out there for the rest of us to use. They've done some excellent work.
He's actually doing a talk on that at the Embedded Linux Conference on the Wednesday. It's April 13th. It looks like hot multi-OS switch, how to run all those at the same time. So I'm hoping he's going to do a demo as well.
Oh, that'd be good. Hopefully he'll use the BeagleBoard, but he'll probably use the TouchBook instead.
So it says here, the talk will demo embedded device such as the BeagleBoard XM that can run Ubuntu, Chromium, OS, Android simultaneously without reboot.
Okay.
So he is talking about simultaneously.
Really? Oh, goodness. Sounds like he's trying to abuse that hardware quite a bit.
Yeah, it sounds kind of fascinating.
I will definitely have to be there. It's a good lead into our upcoming events section. So,
yeah, you guys are going to be at the you guys are going to Indiana Linux Fest this weekend, right?
Yeah, I'm going to head out there tonight, and I'll be ready to go on tomorrow morning. I've got a presentation introducing the BeagleBoard, doing a little, mostly a general overview. I'll talk a little bit about the stuff I'm playing with around the IDE on the BeagleBoard and using it as a web server and exploring SysFS and hacking the Linux kernel from a really high level. And then we'll have a hands-on workshop. Mark Yoder from Rose Holman is going to be there, and he'll be guiding that. That'll be 3 to 5 tomorrow at the Hackerspace Village.
Excellent. Yeah, I've known Mark for quite a long time. He's a big Beagle fan and pretty sharp guy.
Well, he's got a pretty nice setup now for this DSP run project. Where if you read his class notes, he gives a pretty good set of instructions now for just getting C6 run up and going with the Angstrom distribution pretty easily. I think there's still 3 or 4 different downloads you have to take off the TI website to get all the tools in place on your machine. But once you've done it, there's not a lot of build steps or rebuild steps in order to get things running. You just install and go. And this finally makes DSP programming, for a starter, for somebody who just wants to mess with the algorithm side of things, pretty straightforward. So he'll be showing that off at the Indiana Linux Fest. Also coming up, there's an open source Birds of a Feather Linux users group in Mumbai, India. Amit Karpe is hosting something there. I think he's got some BeagleBoard stuff, some HawkBoard stuff. There's some other open source platforms that he'll be talking about out there in Mumbai. So that's the 26th. And of course, we have the Linux Collaboration Summit and Embedded Linux Conference coming up. Not too long after that, Embedded Systems Conference in Silicon Valley. And then Maker Faire.
You're going to make a lot of trips to the Bay Area in the next couple months.
Yeah, I think I'm going to set up to live there.
Are you really?
No. But it really, really is starting to feel like I am living in the Bay Area now.
Well, Jeff, you might want to consider going into the hotel business. I bet you could make enough money off of Jason to build you a backup bill system.
That might be useful.
Can't I be virtualized somehow, just like your build machine? You just need to move it into the cloud.
Well, maybe you could do that with your little robot. Maybe you could just send the robot to all the conferences.
I need to, that's what I need time for, is to turn a hex pod. How do I put my face on it and send it to San Francisco? Anything else in the upcoming events?
Well, I'm sure there's plenty more out there. So if we're missing anything, please let us know, and we'll get it on the list, and We prefer not to hear about your garage sales or anything like that, but everything else is fair game.
Oh, I had a quick question, actually. Are you guys going to be doing anything for ESC Chicago? As I know, last year there was you guys did a whole build-your-own embedded system using the Beagle Board, and it was very well received.
So not that I'm aware of. We haven't really pursued that. We're at the Embedded Linux conference, we're pursuing a hands-on workshop there.
Oh, excellent.
I will be at the Embedded Systems Conference in Chicago this time, but just not going to – not looking to do the build-your-own. I think everybody that goes to that conference has pretty much been beagled by now.
Well, let's give everybody an update on the XM RevC hardware and software. We're continuing to build boards, and I've been working on – we've made some changes on there. One of the changes is the code seems to be running a little bit better, and, you know, the SD access is a lot faster, so we had to tune our test software a little bit. We had some I had some loops in there waiting for things to happen, and so I worked this week to add some smarts into them. So we're building boards right and left. We're still we've got enough software to do the testing of the hardware, so that's getting started today. So by the end of next week, we should have available a bunch of boards to ship. We still have yet to figure out exactly what's going to be on the image that goes on there. We're attempting to pull together. Unlike on the RevB, a minimal desktop that comes up. And so when we started putting together the 2.6.37 stuff, there's a bunch of key pieces that were missing and weren't quite ready. So we fell back to, you know, basically a 2.6.32 kernel with a new U-boot and some other fixes and stuff. And that's what we've been testing with. So hopefully in the next week or so, we'll have that distribution ready to go and on the SD cards and shipping out. But the key point here, real quick, the key point here is we're building boards. So, you know, whenever we do go, it'll be kind of like the floodgates open up and a whole bunch of boards will go out there at one time.
Okay. Well, I think that, you know, getting the new kernel going from the 2.6.32 to 2.6.37 can be a pretty simple O-package update or O-package install to get the new kernel. Now, so I don't think that'll be too bad a deal as long as what's shipping on the boards is a kernel that works and shows off all the hardware features and there's still lots of progress going to get the features into the main line on the newer kernels, right? So I don't think that should be too much of a hassle shipping the old kernel. Because the kernel is now being loaded out of the file system itself instead of the FAT partition, the opackage installs will automatically link in the new kernel so that when you reboot it, it's going to be booting that new kernel. So one question I had is whether or not the 2.6.32 kernel is going to run with that BeagleBoard Toys Wi-Fi adapter. So I think that was one of the gating items to...
Yeah, and that's the concern as well. So, you know, basically, when we talked a week or so ago, we decided let's just get the testing going because I wanted to be able to just test the hardware. So, like I said, we got that going. But, yeah, there's, a new BeagleBoard Toys has come out with a TI-based Wi-Fi board, and hopefully that'll start shipping in the next few weeks, and we wanted to make sure that Wi-Fi adapter would work with the BeagleBoard. So, if it comes up that I think that if we need to do OK package install to get the new kernel and that all works and clean, then we should be able to handle that. And you know, we'll need to make sure that we got all the drivers there for that. So, that was one of the requirements that we had. So, you know, we got two or three things going on here at one time. You know, a little tweak in the hardware, nothing major. New U-boots, you know, trying to get the new kernel. So hopefully in the next week or two we'll be able to pull all that together and we'll resume shipping again.
Okay. Well, hopefully, yeah, so it doesn't sound like there's a need to hold it up on getting every feature, like the camera, into the 2.6.37. I think the camera was the last sort of blocking item on 2.6.37.
Yeah, and so basically we're using the 2.6.32 to test the camera, and that's all working. So, you know, we'll we can basically use this software to test everything out, and we get ready to ship. We can just drop in the cards for an updated, or if there's a process and procedure for letting them update to the next kernel and that works okay, we can provide instructions on how to do that. Because the reality is, you know, once it ships in a week or so, it'll be old anyway. So, you know, we just need the stability on the hardware side so that we don't introduce weird variables that shut down production because something didn't work like it did last week. So, we should be getting there.
Okay, great. I guess that does it for the hardware update. Get on to some of the topics on the mailing list just to pull out. One, I think the sad news for the week is that BeagleBoard.org is not going to be a mentoring organization for Google Summer of Code 2011. Jeff, I think you had a chance to catch up with Carol and find out maybe why that was.
Yeah, they did accept over 170 organizations this year, but they had 430 applications, so they were only able to choose a little bit over a third, and they were concentrating on getting some new organizations in they hadn't had before. So there were a lot of very popular organizations that did not make it in, and BeagleBoard.org was included in that.
So do we need to update our logo and change our name for next year?
I don't know about updating the logo or changing the name, when I talked to Carol, I said, is there anything different we can do next year? And she said, no, you guys did fantastic, particularly with the ideas page, the application page. So keep up the good work. We just didn't make the cut.
So I've been asked multiple times if BeagleBoard.org would still move ahead somehow with doing a summer of code for students this year, just a BeagleBoard.org summer of code. And I'd certainly like to see that happen. Getting the same degree of funding. The Google summer of code is a really well organized event and put on really well by Carol and the other folks at Google, and that's something that would in no way be easy to replicate, even with the student funds. I'm not going to promise anyone, reproducing something on that scale or professionalism. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of students hoping to do some BeagleBoard projects this year, and I think we can do something for them and try to connect them up to the mentors that are still pretty invigorated to try to help students execute on projects and move the state of BeagleBoard forward. I think that we still have a lot of ease of use challenges for new users, and there's still just a tremendous amount of development going on around embedded Linux that can be moved ahead by BeagleBoard. So I think we'll do some sort of BeagleBoard Summer of Code this year. Just need a matter of working out what it's going to be.
Cool. We'll be very interested to hear. I know all the mentors were really excited about it.
So looking forward, we've got we discussed the idea of maybe having some update on the rowboat project and bringing in somebody to talk about that. So I confirmed with Qasim Syed Mohammed, who was instrumental in launching the BeagleBoard project. Did all the early U-boot and kernel work for BeagleBoard, and now he owns execution of the rowboat project, and bring him in next week and have a chat about Android.
Good, sounds good.
That would be great.
I think the other big request we've had is to do some more to talk about I/O topics, SPI, I2C, GPIO, some of the basics. I'm not really sure who would be the best to pull in for that type of discussion, but I think we should plan for in 2 weeks somehow having a good discussion, wrapping around the concepts of I/O, embedded I/O.
Yeah, so I think it's Well, it's important to get the low-level hardware set up and everything and get that going. You know, how you interact with it at the application level, I think, is important. So if there's anybody out there that wants to profess to be an expert or have a good, strong idea in this area, then, you know, let us know, and, you know, we'll see if we can work out some arrangements and get you on here to have a lively discussion about it.
I wonder if I can drop Bill Gatliff's name to put him on the spot.
That's fine with me. I guess after we post this, if within 5 minutes you get an email saying he's not available, then we'll know.
There you go.
Bill's one of the good ones.
Anything else we should be mentioning about looking forward to?
No, I think that pretty much covers what we had on our post-it notes.
Appreciate your time, gentlemen.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
You bet. See you.
So that does it for BeagleCast. We'll be looking for your questions and suggestions, hopefully to be included in the next week's BeagleCast, and have a great week.